Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Miss Hollywood Moore.
Good morning, Angie Squire. Good morning and happy birthday to you two awesome women. I hope you thoroughly enjoy your birthday. Also, just want to wish a belated happy anniversary to my good pastor and sister friend, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Now, you know we got a lot going on, so you got to keep up. That's why we ask you to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or one of these accounts to keep up with where we're going next. The social media tour has launched. We've had two highly successful tour stops. And I tell you, I feel like the female Michael Jackson here. But anyway, we got some more coming up. Also, before we get to our interview, don't go away. Don't go away. We're going to be bringing on live to you in just a moment this awesome, awesome woman. But I also want to say that tonight, please tune in for a very, very powerful discussion on bullying and harassment in the workplace and ministry. Oh, my God. That phone line is going to be burning up hot tonight because we're going to be on the Power Praise radio station. 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, y'all. You don't want to miss it. It's going down like never, ever before. And so now I want to just talk to you for a moment, just tell you some things about this awesome, awesome author, among other things, author Jackie Hardrick. Jackie Hardrick. Good morning, good morning. Now, let me open up her phone lines so that she can speak. I believe this is her. Good morning, Jackie. Is that you?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, I love your enthusiasm so early in the morning.
Jackie, wow. Well, you know what? We got to be gifted to do the things that, you know, we have to do, I figured. If I'm going to be up this early trying to motivate somebody, I better be the first one motivated.
Oh, you're definitely gifted. You're definitely gifted.
God bless you.
And I want to say happy birthday to my friend, Pastor Rebecca, as well. Happy birthday, Rebecca.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if it's her birthday, but I know it's anniversary.
Oh, it's an anniversary. Oh, okay, happy anniversary.
Wedding anniversary. The both of them, yes, brother.
Oh, that's Pastor. Right. Yes, it is wedding.
Their wedding anniversary, and
mm-hmm.
I believe they are somewhere close to their fifth year anniversary as pastors. I think they just celebrated that not too long ago.
I attended the anniversary at their church, yeah.
Wonderful.
Awesome couple.
So,
power awesome. Couple.
Oh, awesome. That's why I said, you know, they're just a powerful example of what two can do.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Beautiful couple.
I remember, I don't know who it was, if it was Diana Ross or somebody years ago when I was very young, someone had a song, What Two Can Easily Do. And you know, the Word of God tells us, you know, one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000. And so, you know, it's just very, very powerful that
mm-hmm.
we, it may not have been 1,000, but I know it's, you know, two people can do so much greater.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, when two people come together, and that's why marriages are so powerful. And, you know, because getting those two people, some people wonder, well, why can't I just live with him? Or why can't we just date? Or why can't we just, but God has something much more powerful for you if you can come together, join together in holy matrimony. I think some people got married. They left out the holy part. And holy matrimony. And it's okay. It's, no matter when it happens, you might get married under unholy conditions. And somewhere throughout that marriage, you transform. And boy, anyway, so we're going to, you know, I just had to be just saying that. So I believe that's for someone. And someone's going to tune into this show or they're going to tune back into the archive. And that's going to be a word for someone. Because whenever I speak, I trust that, you know, it is a prophecy for somebody's life. And I'm one of those kind of prophets. I don't go up to you and tell you that you're going to get a husband or a car or a house, but I can tell you if you go to school, get your education, start applying for jobs, you get hired, pay your bills, and then go apply for a house mortgage.
Okay. Well, just as you inspire adults with your speaking, I try to inspire and enlighten and motivate teenagers and through my writing. So whereas your gift is definitely speaking, my gift is definitely writing. And I just want to use my gift for good. So that's why I write. And my purpose truly is writing for teenagers. I really don't have a desire to write for the little ones or the adults. My passion, God truly placed it there, is to write for teenagers.
Well, you know what? And I'm going to, you know, and that is so, I'm so glad you said that. You remind me of a comment that my pastor often makes when he's preaching. He'll say, stay in your lane, you know. So you found your passion. I'm looking here at your awesome book cover. Love the cover.
Thank you.
Imani in Young Love and Deception. And, well, boy, how important is a book like this for these young people? They can't hear it enough that a lot of time these young love relationships that they're getting in usually take them on a road that they end up, some of them, not all of them, but some, not most, but some, regret for the rest of their lives. So I see your book as an emergency system, just like you have the ambulance, you know, the EMT people. You have the hospital. You have the hospital, but you got the EMT for emergencies. And they go out, they get people. Well, your book, I see it like an emergency that some young women, because some of them give up
school.
And
young men. I don't leave out young men. The men definitely need to be on the same page as the young ladies. They need to hear the same thing. They need to read the same thing that young women are reading.
I agree. They need to read it first. Almost. You're absolutely right. And you know, and so you know how everybody has their little, you know, passions. And one of mine definitely is for women. I definitely do talk to men. And, you know, now here's the thing, too, I like about, you know, what I'm hearing just so far about your book is so awesome. And congratulations on tapping into, number one, your purpose, tapping into your passion, and actually walking it out. So many people I meet, they have a passion, they have a purpose, but they're not living it because they're hindered in some ways. They're hindered. But I, you know what? The other thing too about women, because they carry the seed of a child, and these days, unfortunately, in many cases, especially for the young youth in a lot of the inner cities, they're often left alone to raise the child.
Absolutely.
And many of them are raising boys, unfortunately, that they are not quite preparing these boys to be the kind of man that some woman would one day. Anyway, that's a whole other show. But
right. Oh, it's definitely another show because so many of those same girls don't know what a father looks like. So many of them are coming from one-parent homes themselves, so they don't have that role model. So it's very hard to train and raise a male child if you don't even know what it looks like. So, yeah, that's one of the challenges. But the book also covers STDs, of course, teen pregnancy, low self-esteem, peer pressure, and alcoholism. The leading character, Imani, I love her name. Her name means faith. And she is a strong role model. She's from the poor side of town, but she goes to school on a rich side of town. So she's seeing both worlds and really didn't know that she was poor until she started going to school, a private school on the other side of town. So she's dealing with low self-esteem. She doesn't think she's smart enough, pretty enough, or athletic enough, but she finds out that being the best Imani that she can be is enough. There's a teen character, her best friend, Fatima, thinks she knows it all, thinks she's streetwise, thinks she's smart, But she finds out the hard way that you can contract and or become pregnant the first time that you have sex. There is a girl who is from the rich side of town, spoiled, keeps the drama going from the very first page all the way to the end. Her parents recently divorced, and she's missing her dad, so she's basically just taking it out on everybody and giving Imani a very hard time. So there are teen characters and male characters as well. Tyler is one of the main characters. He's also from the rich side of town, but very down-to-earth, athletic and intelligent. So he's a star on the field and also in the classroom, and I stress that to our young men when I go out to speak to teens, is that I don't know who told you that it's okay for athletes to be dumb. You have a brain, which is a muscle. You have your other muscles in the body. You can be a star in the classroom and on the court or the field or wherever. And then the last main character, Steven, he's an alcoholic, rich kid, lonely kids, parents are never home. So he's trying to fill that void with alcohol. So it's just an awesome book showing actions and consequences. That's just my theme in my first book. And also in my second book, Imani and Never Say Goodbye, where some of those main characters come back and we add a couple of more characters. Dominique, who was convinced of trying marijuana for the first time, and by the end of the book, her and the girl who convinced her to try marijuana ends up in a crack house. So the reader really sees her progression or how her life changes for the worse, how she gradually loses who she is. Because she's so desperate to fit in with a group. She just lost herself and went with the group. There is a teen couple in Imani and Never Say Goodbye where the guy is physically and verbally abusing his girlfriends, and that was happening about the time the whole Rihanna thing was out there. So I deal with real life issues, and my whole purpose, my whole mission for writing for young people is to enlighten, inspire, and empower them to avoid some of these risky behaviors so they can, like me, walk in their purpose and onto their destiny.
And so when you say like you, so let's talk about you a little bit, and then we'll go back to the book. This is very, very exciting. For those of you, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the awesome, awesome, awesome interview here and discussion of her book, Imani in Young Love and Deception. And I know somebody out there right now is about to write Carolyn in Old Love and Deception. But anyway, because you know what? It ain't just a young thing.
Oh,
unfortunately,
no.
I know some 50 and 60-year-olds. So anyway, well, we won't talk about that today.
Absolutely.
But, oh, boy, it is happening, and oh, my goodness. But anyway, it just goes to show you, if you do learn some things while you're young, you can kind of keep it up until you're old. So we do know that. You okay? Because God didn't say train up a child in the way it should go and it won't forget for nothing. So that's even if you train up in the wrong way, guess what? You're not going to forget that stuff. And some people are doing stuff in this anyway. Now, Jackie, wow. So we're going to get back to your book. Then you got your new book coming out. And this is your first book, you said, so absolutely congratulations.
Thank you. Well, actually, there are two books out right now. It's Imani and Young Love and Deception. That is the first one. And that one is recommended reading in the Patterson School District for their 10th graders. So the 10th graders in Patterson, for the most part, have to read that novel. And I am that is a huge blessing. I am so grateful to the Patterson School District for it is absolutely an honor. It was also recommended reading in Ebony Magazine, great write-up in the New York Times. And if we have time towards the end of the program, I would love to recite the poems from each of the books. And again, the second book, Imani and Never Say Goodbye, won an award in Georgia, the Georgia Peach Book Award for Teen Readers, their Honor Book Award. And I knew when I was writing these novels that the issues that I'm dealing with not only apply to the kids in the city, but kids in the South as well, and actually all over. And after the second book won an award in Georgia, I have made, I think, about 3 or 4 trips to Georgia, speaking at schools there, and it's just absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Just amazing, the response. And I knew it when I was writing them that it applied to teens everywhere.
Well, I tell you, when you say it's real life, it's real life, and a lot of what you wrote about was my life as a teenager. So, and I was a teenager 35 years ago. So, it is absolutely real life, and it will be real life for the next 100 years, I'm sure, or more, because again, it's so natural to fall in love. That is the most natural
mm-hmm.
thing to do. And so it's going to happen. It's also natural to be young and make bad choices.
Absolutely.
And have your full frontal lobe. So, yes, bad choices will be made. And the way good choices are made in children, we know that parents have to be there. As my sister-in-law will come on the show and tell anybody, you must put your hand on them and not remove it, not even for a second. And I don't mean hit them. I mean in terms of guidance. It's just like when the potter is shaping the clay on the wheel. How does he do it? He keeps his hands on that pot
mm-hmm.
until
Absolutely.
It is fully shaped. And then
Absolutely.
If something isn't right, he smashes it and begins again. So when when children are doing stuff and you don't like it and it's going the wrong way, you smash it, or as our parents would say, nip it in the bud. So
mm-hmm.
I can absolutely see why the book would be, a piece of information that...
And you're right, that the books will be relevant long after I'm gone, because you
yes.
will always have... Each new generation of teenagers will still be able to benefit from reading the books, because these issues are not going anywhere. But what I try to do is, when I say I want to enlighten them, I want to give them the truth. And when you give people the truth, you truly do empower them to make better choices. So when I speak the truth in the books, telling them, showing them, because I don't preach in the book, I show through their peers actions and consequences. If you do A, this is what could happen from doing A. Whereas the movies and the lyrics glamorize sex, they glamorize drinking, they glamorize this and that, I'm showing you the flip side. I'm showing you the ugly side of what can happen. And when you have that truth, you can say, whoa, wait a minute. So I can get pregnant the first time I have sex? Or, oh, wait, hold up. Wait a minute. I don't want HIV. Or, I really want to go to college and I don't want to have to take a baby with me. So when you have that truth, then the teenager... The ball's in your court at that point, okay? I know this can happen. How high of a price am I willing to pay to have sex with this guy for one night?
All right, now.
So that's how I try to empower my readers, by giving them the truth, and now you know what can possibly happen. Now the choice is yours. What do you want to do? But keep in mind, you told me you want to be a doctor, or you told me you want to go to college. So, the ball's in your court. Which direction do you want to go? And sometimes when I speak to them, I'll stand in one corner and I'll point to the other corner and say, you say you want to go to college. Well, college is all the way over there. What are you doing hanging out over here with people who have no desire to do anything, be anything, go anywhere, be anybody? Why are you in this corner? Why are you not walking with people who are trying to get to that other corner that you want to get to? So that's how I empower them, is by giving them the truth, being real with them. And, you can't fool teenagers, and for them to love the book, they can tell me what happened event by event in my book. Even so-called reluctant readers, and that's a label that a lot of African-American kids get slapped with anyway, being reluctant readers, they absorb my book, they retain my book, so what's the problem? It's not that they don't like to read, is that in addition to the classes, come on, schools, give them something that's relevant to them right now. So the schools and I, we want the same thing. We want them to go as far as they can go and get as much education as they can. But these kids have a lot of obstacles that they need to maneuver around, first of all, to get to school every day, to second of all, to even be alert enough and not be so distracted that they can even focus on a teacher and what the teacher is saying. So there's a lot going on at home. There's a lot going on in the streets that they bring to school with them every day. So to give them something that they can relate to and show that, yeah, you know, Imani's from the tough side of town too, but she's trying not to succumb to peer pressure, and she has a vision, she has a goal in this college, and she's determined to get there by any means possible. Oh, I can go on and on about goals and vision. That's another show too, but it's just so important for them to have some meat to chew on, and that's what I'm trying to give them.
Yes, yes.
And if I'm talking too much, you can tell me to shut up.
No. I'm just passionate
about the topic.
Oh, yes. As you should be. And I was just surprised. I know I was only thinking in my mind. I said, oh, I'm surprised that I never met you, considering you're right here in New Jersey.
Right.
Okay, you're here. Okay. So tell us a little bit about how you got started with this, talking about or writing this book. I know you said that, okay, you're a writer, you love to write, but what were some of your motivations that caused you to, go and do this, kind of live your dream and your passion?
Well, first of all, I discovered my gift late. I was well into adulthood when I discovered my gift. In high school and in college, I would always get papers back from the professors or teachers saying, well written. Well, I did not translate that to mean that I would be an author or that this is what I would be doing with my life. I just figured, hey, writing well is just part of being a good student. And I was always a good student, so I never connected the two. And I have to give Terry McMillan credit for making me realize that, hey, you know what, maybe I can do this thing. Maybe I can write a novel. I had written some short stories, and I sent them to a teen magazine, and when they printed the short stories exactly the way that I wrote them and didn't touch a word, I'm like, wow, whoa, okay, maybe I do have something here. So I took one of those short stories and turned it into a novel, Imani and Young Love and Deception. And again, the passion for teenagers, trust me, it does not come from me. That is truly a calling. But I know what would bother me is just hearing about so many of our young people going to an early grave and just being in so many of the negative statistics like high school dropouts and teen pregnancy and HIV, leading that whole thing. I mean, leading in some negative categories and just looking at the black family, period. And I just kept asking myself, what is it that keeps holding us back generation after generation after generation? What are some of those things that keep hindering us from getting ahead? It seems like we're always trying to catch up. I'm like, what is it? And that's when I started pinpointing some things like teen pregnancy, like alcoholism, like drug addiction. And so those are some of the things I wanted to address, but take it to the younger people, to try to catch them at a younger age so they can hopefully, whatever their thing is in their family, hopefully they can be the one to break that cycle and start a new legacy for their family. It's such a neglected class, especially at the time. I mean, Imani and Young Love and Deception came out in 2001. Imani and Never Say Goodbye came out in 2004. That's how long the books have been around. But it's still fresh. because I've yet to tap into all over the world. I've been to Georgia, of course, it's known in New Jersey, but there are parts of the country that don't even know my books exist. My website just launched, actually, the day that Oprah said goodbye was the day that my website launched, May 25th. So finally, they have a worldwide presence. But I am just getting started with these books. But that's my passion. I love writing for them. I love speaking to them. And when I have a girl come up to me and say, wow, I knew I was doing the right thing when I told my boyfriend I'm not ready to have sex. Or one girl told me, oh, my God, your book scared me to death. I didn't know teenagers can get an STD. Well, that's why I write. That's why I write. And teenagers write me all the time. One girl said that she's read both books, and I'll write back to her. I'm like, okay, so you read both of them. Which one do you like better, the first book or the second book? And she said the second book. I'm like, why? She's like, because I was thinking of killing myself, thinking of overdosing on drugs. But after reading your book, she thought it was a message from God telling her not to kill herself. Well, it does not get any better than that for me. No book review, no comment can top that. That is
Amen.
Just absolutely priceless for a book to save a child's life. It's priceless.
Amen.
So that's why I do what I do, because she is not the only teenager out there thinking of ending their lives.
Well, you know, we're so glad that you were able to, you know, find time in your schedule to get up this early, you know, to get up this early in the morning to do the radio show with us. And so we're so thankful and grateful for that, and God bless you for that. And, you know, to empower people, definitely, and those people who are raising teens. If you're raising a teen, or you're a cousin, or your nephew,
absolutely,
or your is a
child,
or the person in your church, or your students, or anyone that you know that is a teenager, please, please, please contact Jackie Hardrick. You can find her on her website, and her website, give them the website address, Jackie.
The website is real easy. It's my name, JackieHardrick.com. And you can most certainly email me at JackieHardrick@Hotmail.com. Definitely share the news. Check out the website. It's a great place for educators, adults, and teens.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful website. I was on your website last night. Just beautiful. I mean, you know, colorful, very inviting, lots of things for people to do there.
Absolutely. The one thing that I'm most excited about, which the first one won't be until September 24th, is that I will have book chats on my website for the fan club members. I've set up a feature called Fan Club, where fan club members are entitled to participate in book chats. They can respond to my blogs. They get a greater discount than just the online buyer. And with the book chat, I'll be able to schedule the event. At that time, the fan club member would log in to their fan club account, and we will actually correspond in real time about the book. And that I am so excited about.
Well, wonderful. Well, you all, if you just called in, you're listening to author and speaker and workshop leader and trainer and teacher, Jackie Hardrick, who is the author of a couple of books that deal with teen issues, that deal with issues and challenges and even the successes of a teenager. You know, teens need to know that they can be a success, just like some don't know that they can get STD at a young age or have sex and get pregnant on the first time. Well, many don't know that they can set a goal for their lives and keep that goal until, you know, forever, and they can actually achieve it. So I can see the book helping in lots of ways and empowering. You know, we talk about the word empowerment every day here on the Coach LaLisa Show. And so how awesome is it to be a young person? Just imagine. I know Curtis Mayfield years ago said to be young, gifted, and black. But I say to be young, gifted, and empowered. You're on to something there, or to, you know, to be empowered at any age is beautiful. So you got awesome stuff going. Go to the Jackie Hardrick. That's HARDRICK. Hardrick.
Yeah, no W. Everyone wants to spell Hardwick.
Not Hardwick, but Hardrick.
Hardrick.
It's an R. Mm-hmm. Got to pronounce it R. Ricky Hardrick. .com. I picked up on that. Yes, yes, that was a little trick there. And you're a graduate of Seton Hall University, so I know they love you over there. They have lots of youth programs there. Here in New Jersey, you got Essex County, all the county colleges, and then you got all your high schools, and of course you said that. So there's a read, is it's a book read for ninth grade or 10th to ninth grade students. And is there, what is your, let's see, what, premier age date?
I start with seventh grade. I start with the middle school only because if you think middle school is tough, it only gets tougher in high school, that peer pressure. So I like to get them enlightened in seventh grade.
That's right. I would agree. I speak at these schools all the time, and I was always wanting to talk to the eighth graders, and I ran the College Bound program, which went from seventh grade to 12th grade for 4 years at Essex County College. So I've had a lot of experience with youth, and definitely youth and their problems, and, of course, all the problems I had. But I remember I didn't want to talk to, like, the younger crowd. I thought, you know what, they're good, whatever. Give me some older kids that can ask me some questions, and when I tell them some things, they'll be able to. But boy,
and boy, do seventh graders ask a lot of questions. They are so hungry. Teens, period, are hungry for the truth. And it's so sad that they don't. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got some third graders that were hungry. And I was very shocked because I was very reluctant to go talk to them. I thought what I have to say is more for an older kid, but no, the third graders were on point. So, but these kids today, they're growing up so much more knowledgeable about things. But anyway, yes, you were saying that the eighth graders are very hungry.
Teenagers, period, are hungry for the truth. They truly, in this day and age, it's so hard to know what to believe. Do you believe the news? Do you believe what you're reading on the internet? And there are so many adults doing so many devious and foul things. Like, do I even trust adults anymore? So they are truly, truly hungry for the truth. And you really can't fake out teenagers. And that's what's so gratifying.
No, because they're
so
busy
rewarding that they love the book so much is because you can't fake them out. I have to keep it real for them. I will not water down the truth to them. So, I'm sorry.
No, that's so interesting. One second. That's so interesting you say that we can't fake them out.
Oh, no.
But they always seem to want to fake us out. Oh, mommy, I'm going down the street with my girlfriend and, like, you next door and somebody's, you know, basement with a boy. But they know about faking out now, so that's probably why they're so good at knowing when we're fake, because they know how fake they are with the stuff they're doing. I know I did it with my poor mother. God, she didn't have a clue as to I was going to school in one community, and I was all the way back down in College Hill, and I was supposed to be in Mount Healthy. So, the only difference, I didn't get pregnant, but I know so many girls who did those kinds of things, and so they're good at faking out something now. But anyway, but that's kind of a good twist to throw that at them probably next time you're speaking, and remind them that they want the truth, but they need to start learning how to give the truth.
Because
they don't. They become these adults that can't give the truth. If you're a child, you're always lying, and you're always making up stories, and you're always faking someone out. So what do you think happens when you become an adult?
Right. Well, eventually that catches up with you. You know,
again,
it's about actions and consequences. So, yeah, you can lie and think you're being slick, but it'll catch up with you.
Because it never really leaves you. That's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're So you become that adult that then have children that now the children don't believe you because you're still that person who is faking and lying and cheating. I see that happen.
Do we have a moment where I can recite their short poems? So I have your permission to do so.
Absolutely. Let's hear these poems. Can't wait.
Okay. This is a poem from Imani and Young Love and Deception, and it's called Regret. And again, this book is dealing with STDs, teen pregnancy, low self-esteem, peer pressure, and alcoholism.
Okay.
But here's Regret. He was bugging and begging that, oh, baby, baby, if you love me, you would. But he ain't mentioned the blood, pain, and regret. While he was in a zone, I was all alone, dirty and embarrassed. 2 months gone by, and I'm pissed because I was dissed and I missed. Oh, no, not this. If you hear me, Lord, please don't let me get herpes, gonorrhea, or syphilis and AIDS. No way, that's too high a price for a kid to pay. So that's how that novel starts off with that poem.
Wow.
And then Imani and Never Say Goodbye. Imani and Never Say Goodbye, when I recite this poem, Bamboozled, in the school, and you know bamboozled means trick, deceive, hoodwink, played, they're like,
yeah.
Ooh, can you say that again? Can you say that again? This one, they absolutely eat up. And again, this is called Bamboozled. You keep calling and calling me, claiming to be my answer to love, joy, friendship, protection, and peace. Snow, blow, crack, weed, PCP, LSD, ecstasy, all y'all got me tripping and out here willing and dealing, stealing and killing. And I'm falling. Around the clock you be calling me and I ask how high, sky high you say, and even promised I could fly. You lied. Just one more shot of heroin, another smoke, hit sniff, and to get it I turn more and more tricks. And I'm falling. Money's gone, friends gone, family gone, and I'm hurting. So where are you now, friend? You lied to me again. For once, come clean and tell me the truth. How many like me have you bamboozled or duped? And they're falling, like I'm falling. We're all falling.
Mm.
They eat it up. That's the drug addict talking to the drugs. And they just love it. Absolutely love it. So, again, this is my passion. This is what I love to do. And when that light bulb go off when I'm speaking to a group, even if it's just one light bulb, one kid, if I could just get to one kid at a time, all that I go through is worth making that happen.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sure that, you know, is reaching. I know it has to be reaching. I mean, all I can think about is, boy, I wish I would have had a book like that when I was in the eighth grade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And these books came out so long ago that when they first came out, there was nothing that looked like these books. So many of our books, and when you would go to the brick-and-mortar bookstores, you know, it was either the Harlem Renaissance or slavery, but nothing really contemporary of quality. And that's what these novels are. They are quality. And they're not little books. The first book is 300-and-something pages. The second book is 200-and-something pages. And my thing is, you know what? If little kids can read a 900-page Harry Potter book, well, surely teenagers can handle a 300-page book. So I wasn't going to dumb down. I wasn't going to cut it back. No.
All right, now.
No, you can handle this. You can do this. So
look, now you... It's okay. Do that on this show. Oh, yes. This ain't... Preach on here. Listen. Preach and give a scripture, too. Trust me. Because, listen, I'm not
trying
to...
I can give you a scripture.
Oh, I'm not trying to do nothing without the power of God. That's out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
My favorite is Jeremiah 29:11. I live by I hang on to for dear life.
Because we don't do this show in our own power.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even get up.
Well, I most certainly do not write in my own power. And I'm very conscious of that. I know that I am just being a vessel that he's using to get the word out in a different way. So no, I don't take the credit. And when you look under my book and who I'm giving thanks to, he is the first one I'm giving thanks to, because I know there is no way I can do this in my own power. No way. To be able to connect the teenagers the way that these books connect, that is definitely not me.
Because you know where I'm at now, Jackie, I'm at a place now where if I'm going to teach anybody anything, you know, if I teach you that you can do something in your own power, you see, I risk my, you know, my own to heaven at jeopardy. No, because we know this, you cannot, kids, adults, whomever it is, they cannot do this stuff in their own power. Yes, mm-hmm. they have some power over their actions. But every now and again, you need to be able to get some help, especially mm-hmm. in some of these situations where some of the youth are, like you said, they have challenges that, you know, you almost need to be superhuman to get through that. I mean, some of us had good homes. We grew up with loving parents or at least supportive parents. Even if we grew up with
at least parents.
I was going to say, because when I grew up, sure, there were fathers who were drug addicts maybe and out of the home or alcoholics or with another woman and left mama, but there was mama. See, left mm-hmm. mama. These days, mama's leaving.
A grown mama. A mama of age.
At least a 14-year-old mama.
You
know what, though? And even though there were some mamas that were kind of 14, but what I liked about the mothers back then, they acted grown, even if... See, mm-hmm. I remember my mother giving out the teaching that when you have a baby, now you not only, it's because these girls, I'm a woman, no, but you're a woman when you can act like one. And so
right.
even though there were, well, I remember some of the mothers who were kind of younger. My mom was 18 when she had her first child. And for back then, my mother was born in 1935. So that was, you know, pretty young to have a child. You know what I'm saying? It was of a
But you're right,
age.
18 then is not like 18 today. 18, she was grown in that
Those
day.
Women, my point is, though, they acted different.
Right.
They didn't go around dressing like us. They didn't go around hanging out with us, is my point. These women today, even I know 30-year-old women who have children today, they wear the same halter tops. They got tattoos and the
right.
beard. They got everything that the young person has. And I'm saying that the mothers back then separated themselves regardless of their age. And that's something that's lost in this generation. The mothers
Absolutely.
Want to be like that. Older mothers today, any age, I'm talking about the 40-year-old mothers, will blast the craziest rap stuff in their cars with their children in there. Just,
right.
Our parents didn't do that. Well, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 55,
right.
and my mother and them didn't do that.
Right.
They refused. They could have, but they refused to.
Right, right, right. And, well, you have 40-year-old grandmothers now. Grandmothers... are younger and younger.
Sure. My niece, so, I have a niece who's been a grandmother, who became a grandmother when she was like 32.
Yeah. Wow.
Understand,
wow.
Yes, she was a grandmother of more than one child around that age. And so, but
wow.
again, but can we can have babies young, and back in slavery days, they had babies a lot younger than that. But can we separate ourselves from being the child?
Right.
And that's the teaching that is lost on these children
right.
today.
But,
and another
thing that I point out to them, when we talk about their future, when we talk about careers, so many of them want to live large. I'm like, okay, so now how are you going to do that? So what is your
right.
game plan to getting there, to living large? And, you know, if you have a child in high school, how is that going to play into the whole situation? How is it, will it slow you down? Like, and the resources that you're using on the child, you could be funding your education and college. So, you know, we talk about those things, and you try to put it all out there for them to see, like, you know, for them to think, like, well, yeah, the money I'm spending in Pampers and formula and doctor's visits and da-da-da-da-da, I could be
one.
Saving, I could be investing, I could be putting away for
or
college.
Spending
I could
on
be...
me. That was one of the things I loved the most about not having children. That's
mm-hmm.
the one thing, me, I never had a child, never been pregnant. That was the one thing that was the most attractive to me, is that, and I've had jobs since I was 16, is that when I got paid, I got to go to Casual Corners, Paul Harris, and other stores that were very popular back in the 70s and spend every dime on me. Now, I shouldn't have been spending all of it. Yes, I should have been investing some and saving some for school. But to me, that was better than having to go and spend, you know. And, you know, some people would say, well, that was very selfish. But, again, for me, it was a way to handle the situation that, you know, no, I can't.
I wouldn't call that selfish. I wouldn't call that selfish.
And going to buy Similac back then, you know, giving baby Similac, and strollers, and I've never gone to shop for any of those items.
But I don't call that selfish. I mean, this is your life, and if you're not going to live it to your fullest now, when are you going to do it? Not everyone is designed to have kids. Whereas you may not be a biological mother, but I'm quite sure you're a mother to a whole lot of children. I'm the same way. I don't have any children. But
look, only when they force me.
Only when they...
Saying, girl,
but that doesn't mean
that
you can't be an influence. It doesn't mean that you can't impact. It doesn't mean you can't empower children that you meet and that you speak with. So you're still being a blessing to children. You can touch so many more. And I know that was one of Oprah's point too, why she believes she never had a child, is because she's a mother to so many. It would have hindered her in terms of doing her work, her worldly work and her worldly outreach. And it's hard to be an outreach to the world if you're tied to raising your own.
No, you're right. And that wasn't my choice. That was God's choice, because I sure enough was putting myself in the position to get one. Don't get it twisted. But, but you know, it was his.
But everything worked for a reason. Everything pans out for a reason.
You know, it really does. And we are so honored to. I was just on Facebook thanking Minister Patricia Martin for having, you know, invited you to the show. I always tell her she finds the best guest for the show. She is our...
I met her last month at a church event where my nephew was getting a book scholarship from the church that he attends, and he's on his way to college. And I was the first person in my immediate family to go to college and graduate from college. And behind me was my youngest sister who went to college. I'm like, okay, we're starting something different in our family. And with my two nephews, it's not even up for discussion or debate. they know they're going. And they're okay because they know they're going. And that's a huge success for the family. It's a major breakthrough for the family.
I have a question here. Let me open up this person's mic. Okay, good morning, good morning. Area code 513, you're on the air with author Jackie Hardrick and Coach LaLisa. Did you have a comment or a question?
I sure do. How are you ladies this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. I just have a quick, simple question. My question is for Mrs. Hardrick. As an author who writes for young people, do you ever find yourself in a situation where, like for me and locally in my city, being a person that is raising a child that is not biologically mine, far before I decided to start having my own family, what do you do in those situations where you find a child going down that road? I had just chimed in, got online when you were talking about the different issues at households that they carry to school. What do you do for a child that wants to fill their self with the negativity, but that is not what is being put into them, but because of their environment and because of the peer pressure, they're starting to lean like maybe those children would lean, even though you know they come from a loving foundation where they're not hungry, they're not homeless, they're not starving, they're not sleeping on the floor, they don't have drug addict parents, they have a family, and when I say family, I mean mom, aunts, cousins, grandmoms, dads that love them. What would you tell a child like that to make them understand that you don't want to go somewhere you don't have to go. Some people are forced to go that way. But in this particular child's case, which is my nephew, 11 years old, and we just moved to a new neighborhood. It's in the neighborhood with some project housing, but we don't live there. We are blessed to live in a nice home, and I'm trying to feed him with the knowledge to just thrive. What would you advise for me to tell him to keep him motivated?
Wow, 11 years old.
Yeah, 11. Yeah, I know. I was, when you guys were going back and forth with the age range, I was like, well, he's not a third grader, but he's not a seventh grader, so I guess he fits in there somewhere.
Oh, no, it definitely applies to him as well. Now, do you have family members around his age who could be more positive role models?
Oh,
it sounds
well,
like he's
I'm
just... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say we are a huge family. Actually, Coach Lalisa is my first aunt. She's my mom's sister. So we are a close family. So you can imagine the type of empowerment and influence we've had, he has. We come from a family where what you get every day, what the world hears every day, is what we were raised with and what we try to instill in our cousins and nephews and family members. And he has a lot of cousins exactly his age. He has one born on the same day, same year as him. He has one that's a month younger than him. There's a lot of people his age, but they probably are maybe going through some of the same things. As far as mm-hmm. older than him, everybody's grown and like a parent. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? They're over 18 and kind of already focusing on other issues you were talking about. And so I don't want to, you know, push him up that far. I just want him to understand, go hard, don't look back, and take advantage of the love and what you're getting and stay focused, basically.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely start tapping into what is he good at, what are some of the things that he does naturally and takes it for granted, like for me, writing, I just took that for granted. I didn't know it was a gift. I didn't know it was a talent. I just, okay, whatever. But what are some of the things that he is interested in, whether it be sports, whether it be, I don't know, robotics, whatever it is that he's interested in, I would just immerse him in it. I would find the resources, wherever he is interested in, try to get him involved into that thing. If it's swimming, find a swim club. If it's basketball, find a basketball camp. If it's writing, find write shots for you. When young people realize that they have a talent, if adults would just back them up and immerse it. I have a day job too. On my day job, there is a woman whose daughter loves swimming. That child, I think, is in the pool more than she is out of the pool. And I see
okay.
how she keeps her, even when her team is not practicing, this woman has that child working with a private coach to give her even more practice. And I noticed that about some of the other cultures on my job. They ride those kids. They will take whatever that child is good at, and they will immerse them in it.
Okay,
we have
about
what
know that,
that does.
It
helps.
Longer.
I'm sorry.
We
I'm
only
sorry.
Have a one. I have about 1 minute left.
So I appreciate that. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And for you, Aunt Lisa, I just wanted to tell you that since I started listening to your show, I've been in school. I know we were talking about school. I just recently passed my BGE test, and I scored so high that I qualified for a scholarship for them to pay for it. So I will be having my high school diploma.
We're
going to
talk.
So
we're
going to
talk.
Stay in touch, and I thank everybody.
Well, please try to tune back in tomorrow, Kelly. I definitely want to talk to you. They're in Cincinnati, by the way.
Okay.
So I can't go and touch my little nephew and do some other things that I would do for him if he was here. But we could talk about that later. But, Jackie, we definitely would love any other morning that you can work it out with Pat to come back on. And we're definitely going to have Kelly go to your website and all those things and some other youth. You've given out such powerful, like you said, and you've enlightened all of us here today, and you've empowered us, and we thank God for you, and we just ask God to continue to bless you.
Thank you.
And the work you do. And I'm sorry, folks, you know, we hardly ever get down to a minute like this but we have before, whenever we have exciting guests like you on, Jackie. So we thank you.
You. I would love to come back again.
You've got to come back, please. People in the chat room can no longer hear us. I mean, we could still potentially talk, but I also a job that I have to run off to. I used to extend the shows when I had to be didn't have to be at work as early. I would just extend it. Mm-hmm. I can't make the shows earlier because people don't get people don't want to.
Right.
7 o'clock was as early. I was stretching it to go 7, so I could make it to work. But absolutely. So now only people can hear. There are some still people on the switchboard. They can all hear, but the people in the chat room have lost sound. But thank you so much, Kelly. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for being that concerned parent. You are exactly what we want our young parents. And even though he's not your natural child, but you did adopt this kid. He's your brother's child, and you're doing a great work with DJ. And we have people like Jackie Hardrick who has poured out her life's passion to help children just like DJ. So we're going to make sure DJ gets a copy of that book.
I was thinking I have, because he likes to read and he's very good at reading. And believe it or not, he's a good writer, Mrs. Hendricks. So,
and for him, I would definitely
say, why should we do that? I heard you saying that. It was a joke earlier, and I guess I wanted to be a part so bad. But I want to definitely give him a book. I noticed that you had some information of hers on your Facebook page, on Lisa. So I'll go there and I'll call, whatever I have to do. I definitely want to give him a copy of the book. For one, because
I highly recommend Imani and Never Say Goodbye, the second book for him. There's a 12-year-old boy in there who is glamorizing the drug dealers and so forth, thinking that they're living this high life and making all of this money. I would definitely get the second book for him first, Imani and Never Say Goodbye.
Okay. Maybe I'll join the fan club so I can be
and join fan club
for him and get the discounts and then let him see that
absolutely.
There's a whole bunch of people out here willing to help, not just me. I think that always helps.
Great.
Always. Well, you awesome ladies, have a powerful day. And everyone that's on the switchboard, for those of you who will tune in to listen to the archives, we so appreciate you. We thank you for listening to the show. And please tell someone you heard right here that if the book can change your life. And the young man, we feel that his life has changed and he hasn't even read it yet. So thank you. Everyone, have a great and powerful day. And again, thank you so much, Jackie, for sharing.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
This powerful work and information with us. We will, everyone, remember your goals will take you to the destiny of your dreams.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great, it's been real, it's been awesome, and you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.